Yes, is that a problem?
No, I was just curious as to how many innocent animals had to die just to keep me warm. We walk out into the blizzard, and I'm thankful for all the rabbits or squirrels or whatever animal was sacrificed just for me. Ross holds open the back door of the car, and Jake gestures for me to get in. I clamber inside, nearly ripping my dress and falling on my face, before I finally settle on the seat. Jake follows behind me, all grace and fluid. So, are you nervous? I lean closer and drop my voice. You know, about me being fake Miss Sims?
No.
Because you have full confidence in me? I'm so close, when he angles his head to look at me, his lips nearly touch my nose.
No.
Well, you must be sure I can do the job.
I'm sure I can fix whatever you fuck up.
I roll my eyes and lean back. You know, since I'm doing you a favor, you could be a little nicer to me.
I could put you on an overcrowded bus and ship you back to Mississippi, too.
But you won't, because you need me, don't you? I tease, giving his ribs a poke with my finger. He doesn't flinch.
I don't need you. I could always go alone.
No, you can't.
You sound pretty sure of that.
I am. Cam told me.
Cam has a big mouth,
he mutters, leaning forward to pour himself a drink. He doesn't even offer me one. Rude. I snuggle up to his side and wrap one hand around his bicep and squeeze his thigh with the other. His arm stills, his glass several inches from his mouth. He doesn't move his body, only cuts his eyes at me.
If I forget to tell you later, I had a really great time tonight.
His lips quirk like he wants to smile, but he doesn't give in to it.
The night is young, Penelope. I wouldn't thank me just yet. These people are sharks. They'll chew a girl like you up and spit you out.
His features darken and his tone becomes serious.
If anyone makes you feel uncomfortable, just walk away and come find me. Understand?
I pull away from him. I can handle myself, but I promise if I see an opening for a damsel in distress moment, you can bet your ass I'm going to seize it. I wink at him, but the truth is, I know I'm in over my head. These people aren't like me. They'll likely laugh at me, tease me behind my back, even to my face. But it'll be me who gets the last laugh. That's one of the perks of being a writer. You get to put mean people in a book, and then you get to kill them. 10. I'm not sure what I was expecting. A red carpet? Cameras flashing? People screaming my name? Crowd surfing to get a lock of my hair? Yes to all of those things. No to the boring-ass entry that consists of us entering through the back and having to walk through the kitchen to get to the actual party. So much for a grand entrance, I mumble, handing my coat to a man who nods way too much. Does dude have a tic or something? I mean, why does he keep doing that? Then I notice the way he looks at Jake, eyes all wide, fingers fumbling, words a jumbled mess. Oh, he's starstruck. Perhaps I should have Googled him. Why did we come in through the back?
Because this is the Jesse Swagger Show, not the Jake Swagger Show.
For the first time, he seems genuinely humble and embarrassed by what I assume is his fame. It's about to be the Penelope Show when I bust a move on the dance floor. Before I can do just that, bust a move, Jake grabs my elbow and presses his big body against mine.
Do that river dance shit again and I'll lock you in the cooler.
His threat doesn't hinder my good mood in the least. I wiggle my eyebrows at him. So you can get naked and warm me with your body heat? He just stares down at me. What if I have a fever? You gonna check my temperature? With your big thermometer? That smile pulls at his lips again, and again he doesn't give in. He pulls away and straightens, offers his arm to me, and thanks the coat guy in the only language he knows, a nod. I take a deep breath as Jake leads us out of the kitchen and down a wide hall. I can hear the music, the chatter, the laughs, the clink of glasses. My heart pounds harder against my chest. I'm both excited and nervous. More nervous than excited, I think. I don't know. Shit. This is crazy. I'm here, at this super rich party with all these super rich people, and I don't own a fucking thing with a Prada label. I glance up at Jake. This majestic motherfucker. He's in that guy mode. He exudes confidence, radiates power, emits authority. There's precision in his every step. Every breath is controlled. Too bad he's not very intuitive, or he would know I'm over here about to lose my shit. This is the part where all the heroines in the romance books channel courage from this force of a man. But they don't explain how they do it, so I have no clue. I'm just trying everything, narrowing my eyes on him, pressing my finger to my temple, zapping his brain with my imaginary laser beams. What the fuck are you doing? He stops walking and looks down at me like I'm stupid, which is exactly how I feel when I relax my face and eyes and lower my finger from my head. In case you haven't noticed, I'm a nervous fucking wreck. And shit, I add, just to spite him. We're about to walk into the wolf's den and you haven't said a single thing that might boost my confidence. You were chanting some shit about calling the four corners, which I wish I could say is out of the norm for you, but it's not. So you can't possibly be pissed at me for not giving you a pep talk. I was calling the four corners? Yes, stop watching the craft. I toss that over in my head and nod. Maybe I know a little something. Something about channeling power from heroes after all. Why do I get the feeling you're experiencing some kind of epiphany? Jake's confused expression makes him look quite boyish. Because it worked. What worked? I study him and nod thoughtfully. Yep, it definitely worked. I learned how to channel your energy. You're losing control, I'm gaining it. He looks around to make sure we're alone, then turns on me. He looks a little angry, which I understand, but he doesn't have to point his finger at me. Get your shit together, Penelope. I mean it. I slap his hand away and glare up at him. Would it kill you to say something nice to me? How in the hell am I supposed to face the kind of people in that room if all you do is make me feel like the village idiot? Well, when you're walking down the hall mumbling, light as a feather, stiff as a board, how else am I supposed to treat you? Yeah, I get that. But I'll drop dead before I admit it. I stand my ground and meet his glare head on, pretty damn proud of myself for holding his gaze without wavering. For fuck's sake. He runs his hand through his hair, puts them on his hips, looks down at me, licks his bottom lip. He's about to say something nice to me. Probably tell me I'm a vision, that he's in love, that if this was the Jake Swagger show, he'd be proposing tonight. But he can't because he respects his grandfather and all that bullshit. It's about time you showed up. Fucking Cam. Damn, Penelope. His eyes move very, very appreciatively over my body. This is the first he's seen me in my dress, and the way he looks at me is almost embarrassing, and I don't really get embarrassed, ever. He's forgiven. And too fine in his black tux. Even though, like Jake, I've seen him wear a suit, he looks different in full formal. Hotter. Sexier. Maybe because he doesn't have that CEO vibe. If you're finished eye-fucking my date. Jake's agitation is evident.
He wants me all for himself. I knew it. He's forgiven too. Cam smirks. For now. Save me a dance? Give you my virginity? If I had it. But I don't. I smile. Of course. Jake doesn't bother to offer me his arm this time. He just grabs my hand and tugs me along beside him. I look back over my shoulder to find Cam ogling my ass. I almost throw a hip out, swaying it for him. Remember what I said, Penelope. I let out a sigh and turn back to Jake. Yeah. Keep my shit together. No. He's thoughtful as he looks at me, his hand hovering on the handle of the door that will lead us into the party. You find me if you need me.
Jeez, Jake. Are these people humans or comic book villains? I mean, is fucking Lex Luthor on the other side of this door? The Joker? Shredder? Loki? And if Loki is here, is Thor here too? Not comic book Thor, but the real Thor? As in Chris Hemsworth?
His lips thin. You watch way too much fucking TV, you know that?
And you're way too paranoid. I'm from a small town in the South. We have snakes and bears and Bigfoot. I can handle some snotty rich people. Trust me.
If you say so. Now, smile.
I smile. He smiles. I melt. He opens the door. We walk in and every eye in the room turns to us. We really should have just came through the front. I can't imagine we would get any more attention if we had. People stop talking and turn toward us. Men straighten. Women all but foam at the mouth. Everyone seems to be waiting for the perfect opportunity to come say hello. It's fucking weird. And the room is a little... blah. There is nothing fancy about this place other than the massive chandeliers. It's just an ordinary hotel ballroom. There's not even a banner to congratulate old Peepaw. Poor, hateful bastard. My eyes fall on a flash of flaming orange and I stumble a little. I want to stop and gawk, but Jake is steady in his steps, forcing me along beside him. Jake! I squeeze his hand. Jake!
You're losing your shit, sweetheart, he mutters around his smile.
Yeah, I know, 'cause that's Ed Sheeran, like, right there.
For fuck's sake, Penelope, don't point.
You think he'll let me get a selfie?
Pull yourself together.
I don't think I can. Fucking Ed Sheeran. Right. There. Jake pulls me closer and dips his head to my ear.
Keep it together, and I swear I'll make sure you meet him, get your tits signed, take a selfie.
I want him to sing to me.
Whatever you want. Just chill the fuck out.
I nod, pull in a breath, force myself to look away from Ed, even though I'm sure he just waved at me.
Jake, how are you?
Marvin, great seeing you here. Thanks for coming. This is Penelope.
I smile and nod at the old fart with the receding hairline, who is blocking my line of sight to the stage. Jake continues to speak to him for a few minutes, asking boring questions about family, laughing at stupid jokes. I'm thankful when we move on, only to be stopped 3 steps later by someone else.
Good evening, Mr. Swagger. Tonight it's just Jake, Charles.
He introduces me, then nods to the woman next to Charles.
Stephanie, how are you liking the Windy City?
Flustered, Stephanie rambles a minute before concluding that she is enjoying the city. I'm introduced, and don't miss the heated stare from Charles, or the look of hatred from Stephanie. If Jake notices, he's unaffected. He's the amiable prince, the charming investor, the fakest fucker in here. For the next half hour, it's the same thing. Walk 3 steps, stop, introductions, curious looks, small talk, repeat. I'm bored. I'm hungry, too. Seems if I'm going to enjoy myself at this party, I'm going to have to strike out and do it on my own. I break Jake's hold while he's mid-sentence. He pauses and turns to me. I smile at him and then to the couple he's talking to. I'm just going to visit the ladies' room. Jake doesn't look pleased, but he nods.
Of course.
The moment my back turns, I roll my eyes. When they settle in my head, I see a familiar set of blues watching me from across the room. Grandfather. I look away and move quickly toward the bathroom. Thankfully, it's empty. I consider hiding out in here, but Ed Sheeran is out there. And I have some pretty awesome dance moves I'm ready to show off. I also saw a buffet on my way in. I've never been one to turn down a free meal, and I would kill for a chicken wing. I bet they have the good chicken wings, too. Loud chatter fills the bathroom, and I cringe a little at the horde of beautiful females who walk in. They're all so tall, like supermodel tall. I wonder if they had their knees done. Penelope! The blonde standing center of the group beams at me. I guess she's the leader. I suddenly feel like I'm in an episode of The Secret Life. Hello? I give a little wave to the woman who I have never seen before in my life. I'm guessing she only knows me because the name of Jake Swagger's mysterious date has spread. I love that dress, Valentino. What? Is that Spanish for something? Did she say it with an accent? She blinks at me a few times when I don't say anything. The design, sweetie. Is it Valentino? Oh! I snort a laugh. A very snorty one. Valentino. Yeah, I have no clue. Could be jalapeno for all I know. The synchronized head movement they all perform as they study me like I'm some alien is a little strange. Did they rehearse that shit before they got in here? Are they robots? One of them mumbles something I can't understand, and they all nod, again in synchrony. Are y'all gonna, like, turn into a Camaro or something? Excuse me? Bimbo Barbie blonde one asks. Nothing. Enjoy the party. I give them a tight smile and move to leave. They seem to panic, realizing they missed their opportunity to drill me. As I pass, one of them asks, So, you and Jake are old friends? Yep, I call over my shoulder, not bothering to turn around as I push open the door. In the hall, I'm met with three other women, all tall, all beautiful, all almost identical to each other. There's some weird shit happening around here. Well, hello there, mystery girl. This plastic actually sounds like she could be a nice person. You are the topic of every conversation in this building. No shit? My surprise is genuine. I mean, fucking Ed Sheeran is here. I feel like I need to tell them that. So I do. Did y'all know Ed Sheeran is here? Tinkly little laughs ring out. Yes, Penelope. Ed's a good friend of my husband's. Are you married to Taylor Swift or something? I point to where I last saw him. Because that's not some washed-up singer from the 90s. That's Ed Sheeran. Her eyes are amused but warm. I'm Carolyn. My husband Carver is Mr. Swagger's CFO. Which Swagger? The mean one. Which one is that? She grins. Jesse. But from what I hear, Jake can be a pain in the ass, too. I'm still not sure about this Carolyn. She seems nice, but she looks too much like all the others for me to fully trust her. So as bad as I want to tell her that what she heard was true, I refrain. Jake might be an asshole, but I'm not going to admit that to her. It was nice talking with you, Carolyn. I hate to run, but... Ed Sheeran, she nods. I know. But you do realize he's not here to perform. He's here as a guest. What? She lifts a dainty finger in the air. That's not his voice you hear, is it? I listen harder. She's right. It's not Ed's voice. Hell, it's not anyone's voice. It's some classical shit. So, you and Jake, how did that happen? You wouldn't believe me if I told you. She winks like she knows some big secret. Try me. Some other time. See you around? I walk away before she can respond and disappear into the crowded room. A waiter walks toward me with an empty tray of champagne glasses. I lift my chin to get his attention.
Yes, miss?
This is gonna sound strange, but do y'all have any beer? He fights a smile.
I'm sure I can find something. Any special preference?
Anything domestic? Bud, Coors, Miller? I'm not picky.
2 minutes?
Hell, take a smoke break and make it 10. I'm in no hurry. He chuckles at that.
I'll be right back.
From where I'm standing in the back corner of the room, I can see everything. There are little clusters of people scattered throughout the area. Some sit, some stand, some even dance to the elevator music. They could have at least hired a band, bought a flower arrangement, rented a fog machine. The waiter is back sooner than expected and hands me a Budweiser.
Here you are, miss.
He offers me a wine glass, but I've already turned up the bottle. The beer is delicious. So cold it has ice shivers. Just the way I like it.
Good?
Perfect. Can you keep 'em coming?
Absolutely.
Thanks. And I better get that glass, I say, knowing Jake will have something to say if he sees me chugging a bottle of beer in the back of the room.
Allow me.
The waiter pours it without spilling a drop and hands it to me. From a distance, my bud could pass for Moscato. I want to ask if they have chicken wings, but my phone vibrates in my clutch that's tucked beneath my arm. The message is from Emily. How's the party?
Sucks balls.
I hit send, thank the waiter again, and start making my way through the throng of people in search of Ed. I find Jake first, and I can't say I'm disappointed. He's so relaxed, carefree, happy, laughing like I've never seen him before. He stands with 4 men. They remind me of the cast from Magic Mike, except they wear suits and smirks and have matching 2011 Justin Bieber hairdos. But even as hot as they are, they don't compare to my that guy. Jake spots me and his smile falters. He just looks hungry. His eyes flit to my beer, my chest, then to my face. He crooks his finger at me, his lips curling at the corners to reveal a sexy half-smile. I hadn't even realized I'd stopped walking. With tentative steps, I go to him.
Penelope,
he says in a deep drawl that causes my knees to tremble. His fingers graze my elbow and he leans in to kiss my hair. Except he doesn't.
Where the hell have you been?
He growls before pulling away, his smile back in place. If his fingertips on my elbow didn't feel so good, I might pull away and punch him.
Gentlemen, I'd like you to meet my date, Penelope.
Jake may take my breath away, but I'm the kind of girl who can appreciate a good-looking man when I see one. In this case, 4 men. I bat my lashes and give them my full megawatt smile. Hello? I shake hands with the 3 of them. Jake tells me their names, but they're forgotten the moment he says them. Only 1 name sticks. Briggs. The name of the man who takes my hand, brings it to his lips, kisses it, and then says in the hottest English accent ever,
"Pleasure to meet you, Penelope. You are fucking stunning."
Someone in the group snickers. I think Jake sighs, but all I can focus on are his words, and that there's something off about this guy.
Jake, he says, his beautiful hazel eyes never leaving mine. May I steal your lovely date for a dance? Careful, Briggs.
Jake's voice is tight, a little annoyed. I can't find it in me to care. At least this guy is showing me a little attention. Jake has barely spoken to me since we've been here, much less asked me to dance. I thrust my glass in his hand and let Briggs lead me out on the dance floor. Apparently, there is a band. They're not playing yet, but they're setting up. Doesn't matter. I'd dance with Briggs to the Oscar Mayer baloney theme song. This classical elevator music will do just fine. With one hand still clasped in his, he pulls me close and wraps the other around my waist. He holds me like a lover as we spin in a slow circle. A little too tight. Somewhat uncomfortable. I can feel every hard plane beneath his suit. Feel his heat. But we just don't really fit.
You are a vision, Penelope.
I smile, but I really want to frown. It was supposed to be Jake who told me that. You're not so bad yourself, handsome. Over his shoulder, I find Jake talking to a woman. He's laughing, his head dipped so he can hear her. Briggs's gaze follows mine and he smiles.
Jealous?
Nope. Liar. He says nothing. Just stares down at me with those sparkling eyes, his lips curved into a permanent amused smirk. So, how do you know Jake? I ask, wishing he'd hurry up and spin me back around so I could see what else Jake was up to, and maybe get a better view of the woman he's speaking with. Maybe she's old, pregnant, his sister.
We went to college together. I was new to the States. Jake took me under his wing. When we graduated, he convinced me to stay. The rest is history.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Hmm.
I'm distracted. Jake is walking away with that woman, who is prettier than me. Am I jealous? If so, why? Jake isn't mine. I'm not his. I'm not anyone's. I'm free to fuck Briggs in the bathroom if I want. And I just might. Call me a slut. I don't care. We twirl two more times. Jake's still gone. My mood has turned sour. This twirling is getting old. Briggs is too quiet. I miss my beer. I still want chicken wings.
Do you offer freelance services?
Briggs's question pulls me back, but I'm not sure I heard him right. Excuse me?
A couple of hours is all I really need. I don't see the point in contacting the agency and having a contract drawn up for such a small amount of time.
Confused, I stare at him. First, because his accent slipped, which explains why I felt something was off about him from the beginning. Second, because I have no clue what he's talking about. Then I remember I'm supposed to be Miss Sims, who is a whore. And though I should be offended, I'm only curious. How much are you willing to pay?
Name your price.
Well, that was stupid of him to say. $100,000. He laughs.
No piece of ass is worth $100,000.
In my opinion, it is.
Funny. I didn't think whores were allowed to have an opinion. This cocky sack of shit.
Well, we are. We also give out advice when it's needed, and I'm going to offer you some free of charge. I stop spinning and drop my hands at my sides. His still lingers on my waist. Keep the accent. It's the only shot you have at getting laid. With his pride hurt, his arrogance comes full frontal.
I doubt that, considering I could have any woman in here.
And I doubt that, considering you just offered to pay me to have sex with you. Thanks for the dance. When I move to step away, his hand that was warm and soft in mine only moments ago wraps around my arm. He squeezes tight and I can feel his fingertips bruising the sensitive skin on the back of my arm. I channel my inner Denzel Washington. My eyes zone in on his grip and everything else becomes a blur. I'm about to reenact a scene from The Equalizer when someone snaps his name.
Briggs!
His grip immediately loosens on my arm when someone snaps his name. It's then I notice that the three men from earlier have crowded around us. But Jake isn't here, and for some reason, that stings. I jerk free of him, and this time Briggs releases me. The men are talking to him in low voices, telling him it's time to go. I'm still in Denzel mode, so I'm all cool, calm, and collected when I turn to walk away. I've taken two steps when I hear him call out to me. Because I refuse to cower to this asshole, I spin on my heel to face him. His eyes are dark, his glare angry. He points a finger at me. When he speaks, his voice is a low growl, but clear enough for it to carry over the noisy room.
If it weren't for men like me, tramps like you wouldn't even have a place in this life.
Yeah? Well, you know what? I pause for dramatic effect and then give him a sweet smile. If the rabbit hadn't stopped to shit, the dog wouldn't have got him. 11. They don't have chicken wings. They don't have cocktail weenies. No cheese ball. No chips and dip. Not a single fucking thing wrapped in bacon. What kind of party is this? A waiter sets a tray of some fancy finger food down on the table. I snatch it and make a beeline to the kitchen where Jake and I came in. The nodding guy isn't here, but I remember the door he went through, and I follow it and come to a small employee lounge. I take a seat on a bench and set the tray of hors d'oeuvres in my lap. My nose scrunches at the sight of the cucumber slices, slathered in white shit, topped off with some sort of raw meat shavings and a little sprig of grass. Gross.
Good evening, Miss Hart.
My head snaps up, and I find Grandfather looking back at me. Great. Just another person I didn't want to see. Well, I'm not in the mood for his shit either.
Peepaw Swagger, what brings you here?
This is my party, Penelope. Why wouldn't I be here?
Okay, allow me to rephrase. Why are you slumming it back here with the hired help?
I thought Jake wasn't paying you.
He's not. I meant the hired help is in the kitchen staff. Not that it matters. You don't believe me anyway. He studies me a minute. I don't look away. Even though I really want to because his look is super intimidating.
You're not anything like the other women here.
I give him a big, cheesy, fake smile. Well, thank God for that.
You don't approve of them.
Have you met them? Besides, I thought you were expecting someone different, which is why you were convinced that Jake must have paid a pretty penny for me. His eyes crinkle a little like he wants to smile, but can't bring himself to do it. He looks down at the untouched platter in my hands.
You don't like the food?
This time, it's me who studies him. I'm not sure if you just want to hear what I have to say, or if you're really asking all these questions because you don't know the answer.
I like hearing what you have to say.
You sure? Because you may not like this.
Oh, I'm sure. Please, don't hold back.
No problem, old-timer. I take a breath and lean back against the wall. I spent last night in jail. I've had no sleep. What was supposed to be a relaxing day at the spa turned into an afternoon in hell. I've been poked and primped and plucked and waxed in places I didn't know I had hair. My feet hurt. This dress is uncomfortable. Everyone here looks at me like I'm a whore. Jake is an asshole, as are his friends. I'm hungry as a hostage. And this shit looks like something a vegan barfed.
Interesting. But I only asked about the food.
And I only wanted a fucking chicken wing. Instead, I got this crap and a conversation with you. So I guess we both got more than we bargained for. He gives me a healthy dose of that swagger silence, then says,
"Come with me,"
before he turns and walks out. I was not expecting this. I don't know what to do. Follow? Run? Scream? I stand and poke my head out of the door. He's walking toward the kitchen. At least there are witnesses there. There are also knives. You are not a punk, Penelope Hart. I look down at the platter, unsure if I should bring it with me to my doom.
Leave the tray, Penelope.
Peepaw's swagger is a witch. I set the tray down, smooth my hands over my dress, take a deep breath, lift my chin, one foot in front of the other, that's all I have to do. By the time I join him in the kitchen, the sinking feeling in my stomach is at its worst.
Of course, Mr. Swagger,
the chef says with a bow. Then he barks a command in a language I don't understand, and the entire kitchen staff disappears. Peepaw stands with his back to the massive industrial-sized stove. His eyes are on me as he takes off his jacket, folds it over a chair, then starts removing his cufflinks. He nods his head toward a stool next to the prep counter.
Sit.
I sit because I'm scared to fucking death. He rolls his sleeves up and grabs an apron from a hook on the wall. What the hell?
Would you like something to drink? Perhaps a beer?
Of course he would know I had a beer. He opens the refrigerator and grabs two bottles of Budweiser from the case sitting on the top shelf.
Philip, the waiter you asked to bring you a beer, had this in the trunk of his car.
He twists off the cap before handing me one, then keeping one for himself.
He was told to personally make sure you were accommodated with whatever you wanted. Lucky for you, he shared your taste in beer.
Really? Who told him to do that?
My grandson.
My heart warms, and I want to kick myself because I could have had chicken wings after all.
Jake always goes above and beyond to make sure his guests are taken care of. From what I can tell, he's treated you no different. So imagine my confusion when you tell me he is an asshole.
Blood floods my face. Hearing this, I feel I'm the true asshole. But my stubborn pride has me grasping at anything to aid in my defense. He has yet to say something nice to me. You know, he didn't even tell me I looked pretty. He said, "You'll do."
Do you really need to be told you're pretty?
Yes, I deadpan.
I see.
He also told me he'd introduce me to Ed, even get him to play me a song. He hasn't done that either.
Ed?
Ed Sheeran, the singer. He's here, at your party. Where have you been? He ignores me as he melts butter in his skillet.
I heard you had an issue with Briggs tonight.
I cringe at the reminder. Something like that?
Would you like to talk about it?
Sure wouldn't.
Are you okay?
Sure am. He shoots me a chastising look, then grabs a knife to cut the loaf of fresh bread next to me.
I have the feeling that if I ask you to tell me the truth about the reason you're here, you will.
All you have to do is ask. He tosses the bread in the skillet, slathers it with cheese, adds some spices, all while I watch him work, sipping my beer, enjoying comfortable silence with a man I never thought I'd enjoy comfortable silence with.
Eat first, then we can talk.
He sets a plate in front of me. He cooked me a grilled cheese sandwich. I would cry if I wasn't so damn hungry. Within minutes, I have devoured the entire thing. That was delicious.
I know.
I grin at the cocky man. Surprisingly, he grins back. And like Jake, he is stunningly handsome when he smiles. So, you want the truth. Why? What does it matter? I ask, propping my elbow on the counter and getting comfortable.
It doesn't matter. Jake is a grown man. He can do whatever he wants. I'm just curious, and I can't get answers from him, so I'm asking you.
I take a swig of my beer. With it, I find a little courage. Can I be frank with you, Mr. Swagger?
I'd very much appreciate it if you were.
You're full of shit. His brow lifts. Before he can say anything, I continue. You didn't seek me out to make me a sandwich, just like you didn't leave your guests just to satiate your curiosity. The truth matters to you, and if you want me to be the one to give it to you, then I'm going to need to know the real reason why. He curls his lips in a lopsided grin.
Perceptive little thing, aren't you?
No, I'm just really nosy. He says nothing for several moments. Then, as if he's decided to not give a damn, he loosens his tie and leans back in his chair.
Jake never acts on a whim. His strategy is to be 3 steps ahead at all times. He's meticulous like that. Always has been. I know my grandson well enough to know that you were never part of his plan. He acts as if he had no choice but to bring you here. And I need to know why the man I'm about to give my company to is acting so out of character.
Wow. Yeah. That's a good question. Wonder why he wouldn't just tell you the truth instead of risk you doubting his ability to run your company.
Probably because he doesn't know I'm leaving it to him.
I nearly fall off my stool. What? He doesn't know?
No, and I'd appreciate it if you kept it between us.
Why must he burden me with such a huge secret? It'll nearly kill me to hold this in. Like, literally take all my willpower not to chant, "I know something you don't know." So, if he doesn't know you're giving him the company, what does he think will happen when you retire?
He assumes I'll remain sole owner after, and leave the board to run the company for me. But the only way for me to fully retire is to walk away completely. So I plan to give him sole ownership, and he can decide whether he wants to appoint a board, run it himself, or merge his company with mine.
Wait, y'all don't work together?
We are 2 separate enterprises. He invests in people's ideas. I buy out entire corporations. His passion is helping people. Mine is money. I've worked hard my whole life so that one day I could enjoy the fruits of my labor. But I don't want to watch everything I've worked for fail without my leadership. I don't see Jake giving up his company to run mine, but I have no doubt that he will make sure the company continues to thrive under his ownership and the direction of the appointed board. He won't fail. He doesn't know how.
But what if he says no, that he doesn't want the company? He chuckles at that.
Power is a very addictive thing, Penelope. Jake possesses it now, but with my company, he'll define it. And he'll have my company and everything that goes along with it. Nothing you say will change my mind about that. But it will satiate my curiosity. And though you doubt that's my reason for being here, I can assure you it's not. I just want to know the story behind my grandson's unusual behavior.
I sigh. Why couldn't I have been born into a wealthy family? Jake is so damn lucky. He's going to be a gazillionaire, thanks to me, and I'll get nothing. Story of my life. Okay, Peepaw, I'll tell you. I point my finger at him. But if I do, then you owe me one. He nods once.
Fair enough, Miss Hart.
Well, I guess I should start from the beginning, so you should get comfortable, and probably have another beer. In my head, I'm thinking robots, and when I think robots, I think Transformers, right? So with a straight face, I asked. I pause to stifle another giggle, and then tilt my head to the side and narrow my eyes. Are y'all gonna, like, turn into a Camaro or something? The entire kitchen erupts in laughter. Loudest of them all is the deep baritone of Jesse Swagger. Grandfather, or as he's now agreed to let me call him, Peepaw. We, along with the kitchen staff, have spent the past half hour making fun of all the Miss Sims at the party. The employees had some interesting stories to share. I, of course, had mine. And Peepaw simply listened. He shook his head in disgust at some of the things the women had done, and laughed heartily when they got back a little bit of what they gave, which seemed to always be the case. But before the staff had returned and the fun times began, I told Peepaw everything, from start to finish. Again, he just listened. Once the truth was out, we'd talked about my life back in Mississippi, my mother, my writing, the ups and downs of living in a small town. Then he'd opened up about his life, about his late wife who passed when Jake was only 2 years old, about his son, Jake's father, who'd married Jake's mother, his high school sweetheart, his first year in college, that he was an English professor who didn't have a corporate bone in his body, and, along with Jake's mother, had joined the Peace Corps later in life and was now teaching English to children in a village in Africa. I'd had so many questions. I wanted to know about Jake's childhood. When the last time was that he saw his parents? Were they close? Did he have commitment issues? On a scale of 1 to 10, what were my chances of getting him to marry me? But then the staff returned. In the few seconds we had left alone before they made it to us, Peepaw took my hand in his, fixed me with a thoughtful gaze, and did something I'm sure a man like him has only done a few times in his life. Apologize. He told me he was sorry for accusing me of, basically, being a whore, and for treating me as such by insinuating I had no dignity, lacked intelligence, and was beneath him, a man who made an honest living. I accepted his apology. A bond was formed. And now I'm pretty sure he loves me. I wouldn't be surprised if he started sending me birthday cards with $100 bills and telling people I'm his long-lost granddaughter. A throat clears. Silence descends. I don't have to look to know it's Jake standing behind me. He has the typical that guy presence, the kind that can be felt before it's seen. I glance over my shoulder anyway, because it's been a while since I last saw him. And though I've spent the past hour staring at the older version of him, there's nothing quite like the real thing. His gaze moves to me, perched on my stool, cold bottle of Bud in my hand, legs crossed, split in my dress exposing an indecent amount of thigh. Then he looks over at Grandfather, jacket off, sleeves rolled up, tie loosened, beer in hand, lit cigarette dangling from his lips, leaned back in a swivel chair he'd snagged from the employee lounge. Jake takes in the rest of the room, waitstaff, chef, and prep cooks in white coats all sipping whiskey or beer. Sitting on counters, milk crates, and a couple leaned casually against the wall. Eventually, his eyes find me again.
Penelope.
I nod. Jake. I applaud his stoic expression. For the most part, he appears unaffected by the scene before him. But I can see the questions in his eyes, the uncertainty, the burning need to storm over to me, grab me from my stool, haul me in the cooler, and demand I tell him what the fuck is going on. Then check my temperature with his big thermometer. Grandfather stands and unfolds the sleeves of his shirt.
It's been a pleasure, but I believe it's time for me to get back to my guests.
He fastens his cufflinks and takes the jacket offered to him.
Thank you, Jeff. It's been a pleasure, as always.
Pleasure is mine, Mr. Swagger. Congratulations on your retirement.
They shake hands. Grandfather makes eye contact with each employee, silently acknowledging them with a nod, which I find sweet. Then he turns to me as he straightens his tie.
How do I look?
Like a stud? He glances at Jake and smirks.
Hear that? I'm a stud.
He shoots me a wink, gives one final nod to the room, and with a breath, transforms from cool Peepaw to Jesse Swagger.
I'll be making my speech in 10. I expect you there, he says to Jake as he crosses the room.
He pauses when he's next to him and leans in to say something I can't hear. I nearly fall off my stool in an effort to listen. Jake's eyes lift to me as Peepaw claps him on the shoulder, then strolls out of the kitchen. The chef starts barking orders. The staff groans, but everyone gets to their feet, and soon the kitchen is chaos once again. Jake's big body shadows mine as he comes to stand right in front of me.
It seems you've bewitched my grandfather.
I shrug.
Bewitching is what I do.
Since when are the two of you best friends?
Since I finally convinced him I wasn't Miss Sims, and he learned the error of his ways and apologized to me.
Bullshit.
Cross my heart. I cross my heart. He helps me to stand, and his hands fall to my hips. He studies me with a soft expression. I look up at him, at those lips, wondering if he will kiss me. Suddenly needing it so bad, I almost ask for it. His eyes follow his hand as he lifts it to my face and tucks back a loose strand of hair before he feathers his thumb across my temple.
What am I going to do with you, Penelope Hart?
Fuck me. Love me. Marry me. Feed me chicken wings. I swallow hard.
I have a few ideas.
I have a few of my own, baby.
I'm not sure if it's his words, how he whispered them, the softness in his eyes, the fact that he just called me baby, the most original yet swooniest endearment ever, or the gentleness of his touch that has me feeling tingly all over, like I have pop rocks in my veins. The back of my ears tickle. A heavy warmth weighs in my chest. Yet there's this hollow ache I can't describe. It's one thing to be turned on by him sexually. This is something different. I like it, but I don't like that I like it. Long applause and cheers can be heard from the ballroom. Jake blinks, and the mist in his gray-green-blue eyes fades.
We need to get back to the party.
He takes the beer from my fingers and tucks my hand in the crook of his arm. I spend the entire walk trying to distract myself from the feeling. I do this by thinking about turtles. Snapping turtles, sea turtles, box turtles, ninja turtles, turtles in a half shell. Turtle power! Fuck me.
What is it about this hallway that makes you say stupid shit?
Jake asks, never slowing stride as he stares down at me with that "you're out of your fucking mind" look.
You try not chanting the song when you think about Ninja Turtles.
I don't have to, because I don't think about Ninja Turtles, or any of that other random shit in your pretty little head.
I gaze up at him and smile.
You think I'm pretty?
I didn't say that.
You said my head was pretty.
Well, it better be for the amount of money David Michael charges.
He opens the door to the ballroom before I can respond. Peepaw's voice commands the entire room, deep and strong, his words smooth, confident, powerful. The speech is more than a thank you or a farewell. It's a testimony to greatness, a promise that anything is possible with a little patience and a lot of hard work. Shit's good. When he thanks the entire room for 40 years of memories, we're standing just to the right of the makeshift stage next to Cam. And I'm clapping the loudest. I really want to pull a Julia Roberts and roll my fist in the air while I let out a whoop, whoop, whoop. But Jake would probably kill me. And Peepaw probably wouldn't approve of the outburst either.
As you all know, my dear friend Ed Sheeran is here tonight.
Peepaw looks at me. My mouth falls open. I silently relay him a message as he waits for the crowd to stop clapping.
You shut the fuck up, Peepaw Swagger. You didn't tell me he was your friend. Ed, who... You sneaky, studly old fart.
As a favor to me, he has agreed to perform a song, so that I may return a favor I owe to my grandson Jake's lovely date, Penelope. Where the fuck is my phone? Emily is not going to believe this shit. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ed Sheeran.
I'm still gaping, staring at the fiery orange hair of one of my celebrity crushes as he takes the stage, willing him to look at me, so that I may use my silent message relaying power to tell him, yes, I will have your babies. But before I can wave like a fool to get his attention, Cam pries my opened clutch from my hand. Then I'm whisked around and embraced in the arms of Jake Swagger. And I cannot breathe. That pop rocks, ear-tickling, warm chest, gaping hole feeling is back. Because Jake's smile is everything. Maybe it's for show, to prove something to his grandfather, to keep the women from sinking their teeth into him. So he looks handsome in the pictures being taken by all these damn flashing cameras. And it scares the shit out of me because I don't care if it's fake. It feels real. He doesn't hold me like a lover. He holds me like a woman. And it's not awkward or crowding. It's possessive and comforting. We fit. We are the perfect fit. The song is perfect. Seriously, Ed's singing perfect.
Relax, Penelope. Or do you just want us to stand here and not dance while every eye in the room is on us?
I look around and sure enough, they're all watching. The dance floor is empty. It's just us. I take a breath and relax into Jake's firm hold. His smile widens and he winks. Then we're moving. Not in that slow, spinning circle way like how normal people dance. No, he has to Jake Swagger the shit out of it and waltz us across the floor in long, graceful strides. And I have no clue what the fuck I'm doing, but somehow I'm doing it. Backwards at that. I mirror his steps, move when I feel his push. His hand at the small of my back reassures me. If I miss a step, I have no doubt he will just tighten his hold, pick me up, and carry me around the floor. My credentials for that guy didn't even include being a good dancer. This is all Jake.
Ready?
Huh?
To turn. You ready?
What? No, wait!
Too late.
He pushes me away from him, releases my waist, tightens his grip on my hand, spins me, and before I can fuck it up, pulls me back to him, never breaking stride.
Don't do that again, I snap, still trying to wrap my head around the fact that I just did a swirly spin move and didn't fall on my face.
He laughs. The sound reverberates through his chest and thunders against mine.
You told me you knew how to dance.
I do. I'm gonna show Ed my river dance as soon as this song ends. He laughs. Again. His chest does that rumbling thing again, too. I really like it. He twirls me. I do not like that.
Would you quit?
Why? What are you afraid of?
Falling on my ass and embarrassing myself in front of Ed. His eyes flit toward the stage.
First, you tell my grandfather he's a stud. Now you're worried about impressing Ed? Are there any other men I need to know about?
My smile falters a little. His does, too.
I should have never left you alone with Briggs.
How did you know about that? You weren't even around. I refrain from saying he was with a slut, even though I really want to, just so he can assure me he wasn't.
The pregnant wife of one of my senior officers asked me to settle a friendly dispute between her husband and his assistant about whether they could determine the sex of the baby from an ultrasound picture. When I returned, they were escorting Briggs out. I followed to see what happened. I'm sorry, Penelope. You didn't deserve that.
I'm trying to quell my excitement at the beautiful woman being married and pregnant. Nonchalance is hard for me in the moment, but I manage it like a pro. Meh, it is what it is.
No, he shakes his head. Don't disregard what he did. It was wrong.
Maybe, but that's not your fault.
It is my fault. You're with me tonight. It's my job to protect you. and I didn't. But I assure you, he's being dealt with. I perk up at that.